called Cult of Personality on a Friday. A living color.
This song is meant to be played loud.
We had Chris Landry ready to go here. And, you know, when I say something about somebody, I can't say it to Chris's face. But I feel like I can say it to his ear. All right? Now, I'm telling you guys something, whether you know it or not. Chris Landry, not a good businessman. Not a good businessman. I'm going to tell you why. Listen, right now at LandryFootball.com, they're offering a 50% discount for 1 year's subscription. Okay, that's $49.99 if you just use the code seasonal. That's all you got to do. And $25 of that is going to flood relief victims in the Baton Rouge area. Okay, so that's one thing they're doing at LandryFootball.com. The other 80% discount for a 1 month trial, that's $2 freaking.
Dave,
using the code TWO.
This is why they created things like ramen noodles.
Just saying. I don't know how he gets by. I don't know. He must
ramen
have
noodles.
Other jobs because he's got all this information that he gives us every Friday. And he's basically giving it away for free. And then on top of that, any money he is making, he's giving that to charity, which is phenomenal. So for whatever, I don't know. I mean, I'm not trying to insult you, Chris. I'm just saying I care about you. And I look at these deals you're doing at LandryFootball.com. I don't know how you pay your house payment.
Well, I've never been accused of being smart, so that's for sure. But it's seriously, we are, you know, it's an opportunity to get people to check us out. We think, you know, it's football season. People are fantasy goers. They like to pick games on the weekends. They like to learn more about their teams on the college and pro level. And this is just a way to say, hey, come into the store, check us out, and we think you'll stay a while.
Well, I don't know why anybody would go there this week, at least for college football. I'm trying to think, are there any good games on Saturday? My goodness.
How about a great game tonight?
Oh, boy. Oh,
yeah, it'll be great. We've got, obviously, Stanford-Washington tonight.
Yep.
And we've got Louisville-Clemson feature matchup tomorrow night. And then, you know, really good game, Wisconsin-Michigan. So, yeah, there's some good matchups all around the board. And when we think there's a we're underplaying some other game that ends up being the game of the weekend. You never know. That's great. What's a great thing about college football.
Well, that's what's crazy is some weekends you get stinkers. In this case, as you just mentioned, you have six of the top 10 teams playing each other. That's ridiculous. And let's start tonight. Jake Browning from Folsom High School here in the Sacramento area trying to show, and this is on the 25th anniversary of the national championship for the Washington Huskies, and our colleague Lincoln Kennedy will be on the sideline with a lot of ex-Huskies. They host Stanford, the number 7 team, coming in to face the number 10 team. How do you see this matchup?
Listen, I like Washington's chances. Stanford has been the bully of the Pac-12. You know, their ability to be able to win the line of scrimmage is what they do, and they don't make mistakes. Washington is a team that's built under Chris Peterson very much the same way, very smart, disciplined, mistake-free, and physical at the line of scrimmage. So they won't be pushed off the line of scrimmage. Stanford's got it. They're down a couple of corners, actually, 3 corners, and an outstanding receiver as well. Washington's getting them at the right time. Can they handle the big moment? We know that Stanford's been the program consistently over the past few years, the team to beat. Washington is certainly talented, young, you mentioned Jake, outstanding young talent. Love what Chris Peterson is doing. I think it's going to be a great matchup through the years. Is Washington capable of getting it done? It's home, and they've got Stanford, I think, a little bit vulnerable. I like their chances here.
All right, and then let's go to the matchup of the week. Number 3, Louisville, the team I'm very familiar with, unfortunately, going in and taking on Clemson here, a couple of undefeated teams, both regular and ACC records. This is a phenomenal game we will have here Saturday right here on Sports 1140 KHTK. How does this game go?
You know, it's a playoff type of feel to it, much like Stanford-Washington, in that this game is going to likely decide the Atlantic of the ACC and obviously put the front runner in that position to get into the national playoffs, provided they take care of business. I think Clemson's going to have to play better than they've played. They've improved the past couple of weeks, but offensively they're going to have to click. They're going to have to be on all cylinders. Deshaun Watson's going to have to make some big plays in the passing game for him. I do like what Clemson has been able to do defensively. Brent Venables did a really good job against Georgia Tech's unique offense. This is going to be a different challenge, though, against a great quarterback who can run the football and break down your protections, break down your coverages, and break down your fronts. It's going to be quite a challenge. I do like Clemson at home, but they're going to have to play better than they played to this point. I think they're up to it, the experience. I think Louisville was really good. I think the game against Florida State just kind of got out of hand. I think that Florida State was a little dead leg. They got them misaligned, got them in that three games in 12 days, and it just got ugly. But I don't think it's necessarily an indication that Louisville is that much better than Florida State. And I think we'll find out if they can beat Clemson on the road, then there is no doubt that they will be a clear favorite to make the playoffs. But I kind of like Clemson in a close one.
Chris Landry with us. Last thing before we move on to the NFL. A lot of NFL questions for this weekend. But help me understand how Michigan is a 10.5-point favorite at the Big House versus Wisconsin.
You know, I think it's a lot. As you know, the betting lines are what the public perception is, not necessarily how much better a team is. Michigan is Michigan. Jim Harbaugh, a lot of attention. I don't think necessarily that they're 10 points better than Wisconsin. Wisconsin's very good, very underrated defensively. Alex Hornibrook has given them a dimension in the passing game that's allowed them to maybe be a little bit better. However, I do think Michigan's team is a little better at this point. They're at home. So I like them in a close one, but I agree with you. I don't think they're 10 points better. Wouldn't surprise me if Wisconsin won,
yep.
But I think Michigan probably wins it in a close one. This Michigan team's good, and they've gotten a lot better. They weren't all that impressive on tape against LSU early when they won that game, but they've gotten better and better. But they got Michigan, they got Ohio State coming up. We'll really find out how good Wisconsin is.
Chris, we were talking earlier about our players to watch this week, and I talked about Carson Palmer because of what's going on with Arizona not living up to expectations. But someone else that I think we've really got to keep an eye on this week is Brock Osweiler, because after just thoroughly getting, you know, beat 27-0 by the Patriots last week, it sounds like Bill O'Brien is now going to start taking over the play calling. What's going on there?
Well, a lot of frustration. The play up front hasn't been good. Obviously, Brock has not played well. It's got a case of a pocket lock, and he was absolutely terrorized by the Patriots' defense. And that was an embarrassing moment for Bill O'Brien. You know, he's the guy heading the team, but he's also the guy that's got his fingerprint on the offense, and this is the quarterback he tagged. And he goes in, as you mentioned, got beat down by New England against, Jacoby Brissett and a very swarming defense. I think this is a get well game. I think you're right on it. I mean, Kate, I think it's look. I mean, this if you're going to be a player in this, you know, in this division, you got to beat Tennessee at home. If you don't, then it's going to be a real negative sign. A lot of time to prepare and to make these changes. I think it is a get well game.
Chris Landry with us on KHTK. Chris, how good is that Texans defense without J.J. Watt, though?
Oh, I still think they're talented, but that's a huge loss. I mean, I don't need to tell you guys how great a player he is and what he means in terms of versatility over that front. But it's still a pretty good unit. They're still pretty physical. You know, Jadeveon Clowney has actually played fairly well. He just needs to be more consistent. He's got to stay healthy in his own right. But it's not a great defense, but it is good and certainly capable of being a better defense if they can get some help from their offense. The other thing I think to look out for Houston is on the offensive side of the ball, in conjunction with the defense, they're running the football with Lamar Miller, and they want to be able to be a better running team. But that offensive line has got to play better, and I think that's going to be the key.
Chris Landry joining us. You can go to KHTK.com, click on Ask the Scout, and submit questions for Chris Landry each week, and we'll ask Chris on the air every single Friday, like this one from Nate L., not Nate G., not Nate Goodyear, Nate L. in Sacramento. Chris, Nate wants to know if there's any chance the Niners will be forced to put Kaepernick in the game against Dallas this Sunday.
Well, I think it's coming. I think we're going to see it. I just don't know quite. It's one thing to be cleared medically if you feel a guy is ready or not based upon how explosive he looks in practice, how sharp he is. That's a different thing. I think if the quarterback play does not get better, then it's going to happen. I think we're going to see Colin. And I wouldn't rule it out. And I know we're not talking about an injury situation, but, yeah, I could see it. Probably not. I think they'll probably have a week where they feel like he's ready to go. But I wouldn't rule it out at all if the play continues to regress.
Chris, I want to follow up on that Kaepernick question, because when Chip Kelly came out and said that he's not 100% healthy, how much of that do you think is actually legitimate, and how much is an excuse for why he hasn't gone there yet?
I think a lot of what happens is when you're cleared medically and you're ready to go, it doesn't mean you're as explosive or as ready or as sharp. I mean, I think we're seeing that with Jamaal Charles in Kansas City as well. You know, he's been cleared, but it's been 2 weeks. You know, he's not quite ready, not the same explosive type of guy. So I do think it is you're protecting the player to some degree. You don't want to put him in unless you think he's ready. In other words, the process goes, the medical staff says, all right, the guy's ready to go. It's up to the coach to watch the guy perform and say, yeah, okay, he looks ready from a football standpoint. Now you go in. But there is sometimes a gap there where, hey, he may be cleared medically, but he's not the same. And I think that's where we are with him. And I don't think it's because they're happy with their quarterback play. I think they need to make sure that they don't put him in too soon and cause further problems for him, you know, medically.
Chris, I'm going to ask you about the Raiders. David Amerson is graded out as one of the best corners in the league so far. I mean, depending on who you look at, he's right up there. And I'm wondering how much of that has to do with him just making a leap in his career, and how much of it is, say, the Raiders' scheme. What's led to David Amerson's early season success?
Well, David's never been what you call the most explosive, you know, great burst type corner. But, boy, he has the ability to play physical on the ball. He's got really good instincts, and they're doing a good job with him. I think that, you know, if the pass rush will become more consistent, they do a better job of getting people in third and longs, I think his play will be even better. I think he's a really good physical guy, struggled a little bit early in the league, but once he's been able to learn how to stay on top of routes, I think he's outstanding. The biggest thing is they do a good job with him, yes, but he's a good on-the-ball defender, and I think when you play him in some zone looks, he can be really effective.
Chris Landry joining us on KHTK. Talk about Baltimore here. Now, the Raiders going into Baltimore. I don't want to take anything away from John Harbaugh. We were talking earlier. Phenomenal coach. And he gets the most out of his teams more often than not. But is there a chance they're a little bit of a paper tiger? And how do you think these two overall match up on paper?
Oh, I think, you know, I know where you're going with it. And you're right. You just play whoever you play, and there's some teams that are weaker in the league, but there's no gimmies and no layups in this league. But I don't think they've played as good as their record would indicate. But let me just say this, because I've seen this before. Oftentimes when you play a softer schedule and you gain confidence, you become a dangerous team. In other words, you may not look as good on tape, but you're getting more confident. And then when you start playing better teams, you start to see a little bit more. A case in point, Philadelphia. Well, they got to play Pittsburgh this week. Boom, all of a sudden, they look pretty good against them. I'm with you. I don't look at Baltimore as a real deep threat in the AFC. I think they're young. They're not dominant on defense. This is going to be a challenge, certainly, against the Raiders, and I do think the Raiders match up pretty well. This is a game in which the Raiders, to me, they've got to start getting a little bit more consistency up front defensively. Offensively, certainly they look like a tough matchup for the Ravens to me.
Just a reminder for our listener, you can go to khtk.com and click on Ask the Scout to submit your questions for Chris Landry, and we'll ask Chris on the air next week. We've got one more from you, Chris, from John F. in Roseville. This goes back to college football. Given Stanford's weak schedule in the Pac-12, do they have a chance to finish in the top four?
Absolutely. They went out. There's no doubt they'll be in the playoffs. It's just if you lose a game, who do you lose to? Those things are going to factor in. And then who else is available? I mean, I think that you're looking at I think the Pac-12 is a pretty solid league, top to bottom, and while they may be devoid of that great team, and I don't think it's the great Stanford team, they run the table, they're going to be in the playoffs.
You know, let me follow up on you then real quick. What about Washington? Washington, that seems to be a little bit more of a road to hoe for them.
It is, but if they run the table, you replace, you know, if they're the team that runs the table, I think an unbeaten Pac-12 team is I can't see them getting left out. Now, let's see. If Ohio State runs the table, Alabama runs the table, you know, Louisville, Clemson runs the table. I mean, you know, I think the Pac-12 team, the Big 12 is going to be on the outside looking in right now, folks. They don't have a great team. You know, Oklahoma's basically out of it. I don't see Baylor being that team. So I think the path is there. Now, the issue would be is, you know, if you have a close game between a Louisville and a Clemson, close game between an Alabama and a Tennessee, and a, you know, all of a sudden, then maybe you've got a chance for that second team from the ACC, the second team from the SEC. I don't think Michigan is that caliber, but let's just say they're really close. The second team, they're the second team in the Big Ten, let's say. Then you could see maybe it knocking a Pac-12 team out if they have one loss. But an unbeaten Pac-12 team, let's, you know, Stanford, Washington runs the table. I don't see them getting left out.
Chris, I want to ask you one more question about the NFL before we let you go.
Sure.
A lot of games, obviously, on the schedule this weekend. One I've actually got my eye on that I'm curious about is the Patriots and the Bills, because, you know, this obviously is the last game that the Patriots will have without Tom Brady, and the Bills have not looked that bad. So I'm curious, do you think the Patriots are going to win out without Tom Brady starting for them?
It's starting to look like it. You know, I didn't think they'd beat Arizona week one, and it was close, and Arizona had a great chance to win it. I'm through counting out Bill Belichick. I've coached with the guy, and I'm obviously not very smart, because I still look at the opportunities to say, hey, you know, this is where you can get them. And, you know, Buffalo needs a win, coaching for their jobs. All of those things are true. But, you know, New England is really good defensively. They find a way to get the ball out quickly, whoever's playing quarterback, and they get the ball in the hands of their playmakers. So I would favor New England at home. But can you imagine now, as they head towards Tom Brady coming back, they're either going to be 3-1 or 4-0, and God help the rest of the AFC, because Tom Brady is going to be, I mean, he's going to be hyping mad, quietly mad, trying to break every record that he's ever had in 12 games instead of 16, and I wouldn't put it past him.
You know, you kind of look at that matchup, too. The Bills, the Ryan brothers are supposed to be defensive geniuses, or
sure,
something along those lines, I guess. But before Rex Ryan came to town, Jim Schwartz had that unit as the number four defense in the league. Now he's gone to Philadelphia. Their defense has made a huge leap. So is Jim Schwartz just one of those guys that, you know, maybe just shouldn't be a head coach, but one of the best coordinators out there?
Well, he's a good young head coach. I've known Jim for a long time. We worked together. He's really, really bright. And I think if he gets another head coaching opportunity, I think he did have some success in Detroit. But be that as it may, he's an outstanding defensive coordinator, and he's got that defense playing well. What he does a really good job of getting good base pressure and plays maximum guys in coverage. He doesn't like to blitz a lot. So that's the real key. And, you know, he runs a true wide tackle, you know, wide nine defense, where those defensive ends are played in a wide nine technique, getting straight up field. And they do a good job of spreading out the offensive line. And what that does is create gaps between the center and the guards to penetrate through. And they have done a really good job with it. And that's a very good point you make about, hey, this Philadelphia team, the story's been Carson Wentz, but that defense has been a good sidebar as well.
You know, and it's interesting too, Chris, that you bring up that base pressure, because it seems like year in and year out, the best defenses, they cover that exactly, whether it's the Seahawks, they don't run a ton of blitzes. Yeah, I remember when the 49ers had Vic Fangio as their defensive coordinator, a lot of base pressure, and some of that is the talent, but why don't we see more of that?
Well, because if you can't generate pressure, you can't win. And if you can't generate base pressure, you have to blitz. If you allow particularly good quarterbacks time, they're going to carve you apart in this league with the way the rules favor the offenses. So it really comes down to this. You have to generate pressure. If you have to blitz, so be it. But imagine if you can get the same pressure with four or five-man pressures, and that gives you maximum guys in coverage. The more you blitz, less guys in coverage. So it is a give and take, but everybody wants to do it. It's just not many people have enough talent to be able to pull it off to just get 4 and 5 man pressures and get home with that.
Chris, tell everybody where they can find you.
LandryFootball.com. We've got all the breakdowns of every one of these NFL games, all these college games in depth. So we break it down for you. Notebooks every day. Radio show every day that we put just based on football, taking you inside the game from inside the film room. Check us out there, and we'll think you'll love it.
Appreciate your time, as always, Chris.
Y'all
thank
have
you.
A great weekend.
Thank you.
Thanks so much. Take care. Bye-bye.
That's Chris Landry. Before we go to break here, let's get you a Ryder Cup update. First round in progress. Yeah, exactly. Jordan Spieth, Patrick Reed are two up in their match. Mickelson, Fowler, they just went one up. We just saw Ricky Fowler chip a beautiful shot in from the fringe. Like it was nothing. Let's see.
Gallery there is insane.
Oh, it is. Oh, it is. It's going to be so loud. Dustin Johnson and Matt Kuchar are just taking it. Taking it four up right now through seven. The only match Europe has right now, Sergio Garcia and Martin Keimer are one up on Jimmy Walker and Zach Johnson. We've seen this before with the Americans, though.
Those guys.
Yeah, exactly. They get off to a good start. You know it's all going to come down to Sunday. We will take a break. When we come back, former Baltimore receiver Qadri Ishmael, now broadcasting for them. He'll join us and break down the Raiders game from the Ravens side right here in your home of the Raiders, Sports 1140 KHDK.